Hello?
Okay.
Where is the line?
Then my daughter said, why don't you wear the mermaid golf shirt? That way it looks professional from far away, but up close you're like, no, you're still kind of weird. So that's what I'm saying.
Hey, man.
You're okay, yeah.
You're fine.
They didn't say how old this is.
What's up, huh?
This one's probably just 20 years back.
What's up, buddy?
I might wear only 2 months, but it's probably 20 years old.
You know him?
How you doing, man?
Good to see you.
A long time.
What are you doing here, man?
I'm my guest.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Not the pizza guy, is he?
No, he's not the pizza guy.
We're looking for the pizza guy.
Long pen. Nothing like a bad pen, you know?
All right, gang, we're going to go ahead and get started here. All right, I want to welcome everybody to the Monday, June 27, 2022, Village of Galena Council meeting. So, Suzanne, if you'd be so kind to do roll call.
Everyone is here except for Mike Frey.
All right, excellent. Everybody have any questions regarding the minutes of May 23rd? Any additions, corrections? All right, excellent. May I get a motion to approve the minutes of May 23rd?
So moved.
Thank you. Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion is passed to approve the minutes of May 23rd. All right, this evening we're going to start our evening out with a lot of fun with our guest participants, Kathy Swack-Hamer and... All right. They're here to talk both about the Burger Bash as well as the...
You
can hold it up. Push the back. Yeah. Ooh. I know, right? You can pick it up.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just taking one of them.
Trina.
There it is.
I am not the most technical person in the world.
Okay. So you could say your name and address.
I'm getting there. Wait
Sorry.
For it.
Sorry.
So Jamie Stevens. I live over in Sage Creek, 10518 Sage Creek here in Galena. And
I'm Kathy Swack-Hamer, and I live at 2739 South Hill 3C, and I also have a Galena address.
Well, we want to tell you that we've been busy for about 4 months. Crazy busy putting this Galena Fall gathering together, and it's almost like I don't even know where to begin. These last 4 months have been possibly the most incredible months of my life, having met wonderful people helping us put this event together. I mean, if you ever wondered if you live in a great place with great people, you do. And I don't even know where to start. If I had to tell you all the people that approached us from churches, the police, the fire chief, the community residents, organizations, the Eagles, the VFW, the corporations. It's amazing. I mean, we got on a flight today, and as we were coming in, there was another opportunity that presented itself from a corporate person that's in this community, even though lives here, and is willing to help us out. And not only that, I mean, it's the big Walnut Civic Association, Sunbury Group, it's Berkshire, Delaware. You know, I think for me, I'm just going to turn off any of the noise that's going on in the world. So good. So hopefully the attendees that come October 15th will see and feel everything that we felt, because as a group of organizers, and Cassie and I are only a few of, I mean, maybe 10 people that are on this council. And I'm just this person that has no special capabilities, and I'm good at, you know, recognizing you. So it's just been fabulous. And I think we're giving the application, right? Yeah. So and I'm not quite sure who put the application together. But I'm going to tell you, it's not an application.
Oh, let me just jump in. So there's two things. So tonight we're going to do the first reading for the closure of the roads, and the event policy is what we've been working on.
Yeah.
And that's the recipe for success.
The event
and so that
policy.
Yeah, so that one we're still working on.
Yeah, which I call a recipe for success, because as it seems extensive, but as you're reading it as an organizer, it really has absolutely everything you need. Very well thought out, very well put together, and I would suggest that if anybody is thinking about an event to have here, to get that and read it, because there's so many things you need to think about. So whoever put that together, kudos, because it's a recipe for success. There's a lot to it.
Right. So tonight we'll probably focus a little bit on the roads. We'll talk about some of the high-level things that have happened. I think each of these meetings you guys have been at, we've just hit on, you know, the progress.
Okay. So, I mean, did you want me to just go over the format really quickly?
Yeah, a little bit, and some of the new folks,
and then there's
the confirmations that we have on various things.
Yeah, so really we're pretty lucky to have two families or men from the area that gave us the idea after they listened to our presentation of the mission statement together, because we had all these great ideas when we were putting this event together. You know, we want to be charitable, we want to unite the community, we want to so all the money that we collect and we're trying to hit those things because that's important. So our mission statement is elevating through community improvement and building. And I'm going to tell you again that we have hit us. It's not even what we've done. Just people getting excited about and some of the organizations that are helping us out are the Teletonia, two great, I mean, huge Teletonia and the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. They've opened up their warehouse of just all the equipment that they have. So our event is after the Teletonia, and they have given us an entire list of what's in their. My job, mostly for this event, is to read the and to bring that content. Because our goal is to have the day the event starts, zero. The things that we've been able to pull together, then that means we get to give every playground special benefits, and then also to pediatric. That's our goal. We want every single dollar so that we hey, what we've done, you know, we've been able to do this. So the Teletonia gave us their entire warehouse. I can't even tell you, it's tents, signs, waste baskets, like the shopping list. And then the Buckeye Cruise, they're willing to help us run things that we have no idea how to run, like a cornhole tournament, which apparently these people are very curious. So the guy that they know that we've brought in has almost like, will sell out the event before we do it, because we want our community to do it. Duck Pond, an online auction so that we can do am I allowed to say what's in the auction, or? Okay. So we have two signed guitars that were donated to us by a very famous celebrity here that lives here in Kansas.
Tyler Joseph of 21 Pilots.
And his brother Zach, they were the ones that suggested we do a mission. They just help us incredibly. And so they donated these two guitars, they signed them, and then an equally famous lady who actually paints guitars, and she's done this for the world. She's going to paint these guitars back for free. And the last guitar she put in auction went for like $30,000. So she's going to paint these two guitars around the signature. So just crazy support we've been given. And it just comes in, you know, all day, every day. So in the morning, the Pelotonians were sponsoring a cycling class and a hip-hop class, and there's two kind of famous personalities in the city. If you do either one of those two events, you would know these two people right away. Sherry Lewis, who ran actually in her younger years, and then Mike Nichols, who does hip-hop. And if you ever went by Solaris during COVID and you saw this, that was him. So they're amazing, and they're going to collaborate for 3 half-hour sessions in the morning. The fitness thing, and then the vault and Nick for the diner. They're going to do kind of going to be a fun thing. It's not really going to be I'm going there to try and have the best thing out of my life. It's like I'm going there to have fun. So we're going to have muffins and bagels and music and. Yes, we might hand you a donut on the bike. So, like, we're here to help you. And then one of the things that Tyler does is allowing us to have that he is doing that will do. So we've got these four bands that are amazing. AJ Angelo, Thompson Brothers, Eggs, and then, of course, our big Nashville, who is just in the process of a record deal. So we got the but anyway, so, and then what about a stage? Well, John Page, who is an amazing businessman and a production owner in Westerville, is building a stage. Does Red, White, and Boom. He does Columbus Marathon, just numerous things. He built up all the sound systems. So he's building us a huge stage. We're going to pay his people as part of the service. Then you have these guys that come in and build the stage. So that's their life for 3 days. So, I like to go big. So we have the bands. We have Byers, George Kaufman, who owns Byers, several car dealerships. That's the closest one to us. He's doing the entire product show and has just taken hold of that. His marketing people, we don't even have to do anything. He's just going to come in and put the show on for us. And we've already got Porsche. That has committed, and they're like, we can lay 40. How many cars do you want? But they walked, I don't know, as many as possible. But so they walked the whole area. Type of shit. Craft. So you gotta have craft. We'll probably have. We have room for 75 craft vendors. But really, this year we're just. Just so that we can have more types of craft. So we have a whole vendor sheet that kind of says atmosphere. So when you have to have product that you can sell all day long at a pretty good price. So we're excited about that. We really are competing this year with a lot of events. We'd rather have maybe 50. So we're still working on that part. And then we have, of course, the tape, which we think is amazing. That's where we kind of really and we're challenging them to fund John Self of Big Walnut Grill, he said, hey, you know, I did corn at the fair. I sold corn, buttered corn on a grill for like 40 years. Yeah, and it'll be great. And he goes, and hey, how about we do a corn eating contest? And we're like, well, yeah. yeah, we'll work it in. And so we're challenging them to come up with items that kind of will enjoy, but we want them to make money too, because one of the things they said is, you know, hey, we give this money, but we don't know what, you know, what it's going to or whatever, and we're like, well, hey, it's going to be going to Patrick Cancer, and it's going to the ground. So how about this? You show up, you make this event great from a restaurant standpoint for our attendees, and then you know what? At the end of the day, you write us a check for our charity. You tell us what it was worth to you. And then they also came up with this idea, some of the restaurant owners, we have a, I think we're going to do a chili contest, a cake and pie making contest, and a salsa contest. And so these restaurant owners said, hey, we'll take the winners and we'll put their recipes in our restaurant for a month. So again, we're trying to connect the community. Everything we do, we're trying to, okay, we're building unity. What's your part in that? Not trying to just, and we want you to give back. Am I missing anything? Okay, so we have a kids zone where Primrose, who's coming in, and another great person about this event, you know, and we're like, well, we've been doing so much. We, that's one of those areas we were very weak on. And so he goes, well, hey, can I put something together? Function. So that's a work in progress, but, you know, you figure if this person, we're happy about that. So I guess what I would say in the end is we have been so lucky to be so much from even other festivals. Just Sunbury Sizzle. They're like, hey, how can we help? What can we do? They're giving us all their equipment. Their event is before our event, so they're going to give us everything they have. And not only that, just the sharing of knowledge. Cindy Ernst has been. And the Buckeye, or the Big Walnut Civic Association, you know. So I would say that we want to give back in the future for seeing this great, so many people, that we would like to say, if you can bring an event to our community, charity, he will give them back everything. It doesn't matter whether it's a past event or someone's just thinking about an event. We just want to put it out there that the Galena Fall Gathering. And that's it? Okay.
Thank you.
I have a question. Absolutely.
So I think I need to clarify prior to me.
No, we love, you know,
and
what, there's opportunity.
The event works without any mistakes.
It won't. I'm going to promise you that. We will, Zach, we will make mistakes. But isn't that what life is about?
Yes.
You put something out there that's good for the community, and if you make a mistake, you have people that are willing to help you do that.
So I went to the Sunday. So the first topic I'd like to talk about. So trucks are going right in front of the three local businesses. I remember that being. Big deal.
Actually, that is just a typo. Like, Ben Denton, great artist, helped us put this map together, and he loved the summer sizzle or the summer fest. And so he thought those would be food trucks. But actually, there are restaurants. So So actually, Zach, there are restaurants. So it's Big Walnut Grill, it's Firehouse, it's
it's not food truck.
So
that would be more.
Well, there was communication, I think, at the time that didn't last time, and I think that was the thing. I mean, it was effectively communicated. But I believe they have partnered with the local restaurant. Last time that was. So I think we're a little bit ahead.
We've got another local restaurant parked relative to
their food.
It would.
But again, they've communicated with the local with
it. Yeah, I actually can talk that, and that's actually very good. One of the things we're doing is they've actually collaborated. But we're going to have a meeting here probably in the next month. And before that, we're prepping them with, let us know what you would like to bring. Let us know your price. Do you need? Do you need electric, propane? Talk to the fire chief. So we're going to have a meeting where we all get together and we discuss how do we come together and make the best event for the entire community. Now, so one of the things we're considering, and it's kind of a maybe some of these restaurants can't stay all day. Your event goes till 10.
Most of the questions I got
sure.
No, please recall, because I made those comments, that it is a work in progress.
I know.
And not everything's set in stone. Okay.
Yeah. But that's all good points. Right? So here's what we're thinking is, and I would love your opinion, everybody's opinion on this. Some of these restaurants may want to break down. Right? They have to be. It's a long day. It's a lot. They're actually going to be putting a lot of their own
yeah.
to this event. And so one of the things we're going to ask them in the meeting is, when do you need to break down? You know, what makes sense to you? And then we're going to ask them, if they decide collectively that they want to break down earlier, then what we might want to do, since our conference is all the way to 10 o'clock, then we can bring in food trucks. But the point is, no, I understand.
Yeah.
The point is, really need to talk to them and say, if you break down at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at the collective, is it okay then to bring in people later on in the evening? There might be people.
You probably hard to find uncalled.
You're so right. And actually, we have a list of about 10 food trucks that are willing, if we decide to do that, once we talk to and get there okay. We have a list of about 10 to 15. But good point. Thank you.
Do you have any ideas?
No. I'm just.
I think, guys, where we are right now is the. If we think in terms of scope. Simple restaurant. That we get everywhere. And they all say, is that going to be enough? Thousands of people. We're talking about real lines. I think this isn't either or. We're months. How do you hear? This is an event that's coming in. It's doing the thing. And so I don't want to get into it.
It is, and it's a work in.
Thank you. I brought it up because it's
from last year. It's huge. Yeah.
And you know, if you don't mind, I would like to. For me, I want to tell you. Is to have a separate event in the fall that stands on its own. Like, I'm not really a part of, or my group of people that that. And I would like to say that even though I've heard of the thing, like from my standpoint, and you know, I think some events cannot be. That's like what we're trying to do, and that really its main focus is. My thing would be, if you are interested in charitable service, I'm really not interested in anything. It's just not how I rule my life. But any questions you have, please feel free to call.
Are we good? And then you guys wanted to talk about the Porker Bash real quick, right?
No, I mean like,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Sunday they were talking about the spin. Based on what I was hearing. Sorry.
Okay, so what? I'm sorry. What is your question?
$5 to get access.
And so your question is which the. The money or So first of all, I've recently bought this, so it's actually not a spin class because that's a registered trademark for what plant that's called a cycle.
Okay.
Yeah. And the cost is I'm not sure what the cost is.
I heard it was $35.
Right. Okay, so I can verify that we'll probably know if that's going to be the final cost because we haven't gone live with that cost. But I've heard through, and by the way, Next Level Fitness, wonderful man. So his charity to us has been incredible. So let's focus on that first of all. When do you ever get, you know, a gym that's willing to 60 some bikes, set them up? Yes. So we're happy about that. So our vendor for alcoholic beverages, Superior, and they have a wide range. We're working very hard with the Liquor Control Board. And then we've got some things we need. So our offerings that day, to make sure that we're very careful, make sure that we're... Yes, it is. And you have to be very careful. And so I would say that to you, that is something that we're very aware of because it's making one of our big revenue streams. So of course we want to keep that revenue stream going. So it is against our, it is against what we are trying to do to generate revenue to not do it wrong. So if you have a direct question towards what are we doing and are we doing it correctly, or if you have any suggestions,
I'm just trying to get to deep. On this entire event.
So our goal is to keep several.
Let me stop for a moment. We probably could take this offline with more. After the meeting, and her team should answer. But I don't want the whole obstacle. So if you don't mind, favor me. After we can set time aside so we can
ask great questions. Personally, I think this is the perfect time to discuss it when we've got a lot of people in the crowd and free the council here.
Right, agreed. As president of the council, I'm asking, take this offline so we can have a meeting with her and her team, and we can have all our questions answered and we can make a
There are nine people. There are nine people in attendance. Say that they would weigh 2,000 pounds. As far as I think, sure we're clear. For detail,
well, typically we get like audience.
We have tripled. We have tripled our normal crowd, and that's why it looks exciting. Involvement in the community.
And can I just make one comment? I would be more than willing to whenever. But again, I want to stress, instead of being compared to things before that I really don't know, I would rather answer questions. Let's just create events that are great for the community. And not be comparative, because I'm not competing. I'm raising money for pediatric cancer and for a playground. So I'm not competing with anybody. And
but
my recipe
works perfectly fine. Yeah. And that's all I have to
I just tell these guys, I'd like you to continue with your questions because I think it's perfect that Jamie has an opportunity to answer those. So, and I know that you have some people here in the crowd that would like to hear. So.
This one's actually yesterday. You said this is a village sponsored event.
That's correct.
That means absolutely fine. And the liability insurance for alcohol.
It's going through the Big Walnut Civic Association. They're carrying the insurance, the alcohol license, which will be requested F2, and they'll be handling the money. It was all going through the Big Walnut Civic Association. They will then write a check back to the Galena Foundation and to the other half of Pelotonia.
And if I can also make a comment about that, there are certain organizations that state organizations that are we want to make sure that we are within their guidelines, and they may have 501c3 guidelines or 501c4 guidelines. And so we're making sure that if someone donates to us and it needs to, that their donation is carried out properly, that we have separate offline. If they're going to give us money, that we have. So will there be a separate area
alcohol will be sold?
So
work in progress.
Let me ask you this. I always ask when someone asks, what is your concern? What is your big concern?
I will have to use a GC. So later in the day, before they implement a burden, some of the other had to stay in the area. Had to go there to buy alcohol.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is that, I'm sorry, the event you were talking about again?
Summerfest.
Okay, so it sounds like you're saying that Summerfest had a problem during one of their events with drunk people.
Yes.
Okay.
Was the beer garden set up as a way to reduce liability?
Yes. Right. We've been talking to the sheriff about that and then liquor board control. And as long as you can have any area that you want, it just has to be managed. So what that area is going to be is still under discussion.
But I will say I think one of the things, another great concern, is I think one of the things we are not doing is we are not billing events. And a lot of events are, right? Like, exactly. But a lot of times with whatever spin you're putting on, that kind of
But in case that would occur, what we've done is a large part of our cost is actually going to oversight. And so one of the things I think we're doing is we're going to be putting a lot of on-duty, or I guess I should say off-duty, police in uniform all around the event. And we think that does two things. Number one, it kind of curves that a little bit. You know, if you have, if you're standing next to, if you're in
much less likely to take
it. Exactly. So, and that's our thought, but we don't know. I mean, this is our first event, but you bring up an excellent point. So I think even restricting or corralling people in an area doesn't necessarily. And people are careful, right? Because they gotta somehow leave the event. So that's our hope.
Gotta be very careful.
Yeah, that's our hope. But can we ever control people? Ever?
No. Really.
But I think what we can do is have a send the right message. Did the event before have a mission statement? So for us, you know, that elevating, you know, improvement, that's really going to be the forefront. I think that makes kind of like when you walk into church, and when you walk into concert on campus. So anyway, so if that, and if you, again, if the Galena Summerfest has any, we sure could use a lot of advice. So if there's ever any advice, I think I hear Summerfest over here. If you guys have any advice for us, we sure would look. I don't know. You know, my mom would say to you that I could never get enough advice because I need it. So, and again, I think if we share recipe books on what was successful or not successful, I'd really be up for that. So thank you so much.
Okay, I guess the next thing would be a bus shuttle. Did you say provide the shuttle?
Yeah, so again, Kathy and I, we do a lot of, so the Pelotoni is an organization that has millions of dollars, and for 1 or 2 days of an event, they have 8,000 riders. So we've really taken a lot of logistical, suggestions from them, and then again, from Cindy, Ernst and the, Sunbury Sizzle, because they came to us. Give us all this advice that they've had. So we've been given a lot of advice on parking and logistics and all of that. So I think we're in the process of taking that advice and hopefully. So so shuttles back and forth. Yes, there's a company called Student One, and they're very active in the Ironman and Chief. One of the police chiefs told us because they have buses and they're a private company and they can actually bus large numbers of people. When Kathy and I did the Ironman, I'm going to tell you, when you have 4,000, I'm really scared Ironman competitors going from downtown Galena, and they did it in like a half. Literally, we parked. These buses were all staged and then we got to the lake. I mean, it was just amazing. Well, thank you so much. I, again, Again, I appreciate that, and please excuse me, but this is a first-time charity event that I'm doing for Galena, so I'm a little excited about it, and but note taken. Okay, I'll try and give more concise answers. Thank you very much. Sorry, Zach.
Next question. Why for this event?
Yes.
So applied meaning what? So do we have the event policy in? No.
This is the only thing I got to go out.
That's correct.
To my knowledge, no group has applied for a special event.
And that's why we're here tonight, is to do the road closures, because that's all council does. And so the event policy that they'll share with us over time is something that will be a guide for the village. It's not a legislative document. It's nothing that we have to even take a motion on. It is not. We did not legislate it, ask Ken. The event policy is for any organization to come to us with that kind of guide and for us to know what's going on. So we have been working on that because it is wonderful and extensive, and we're trying to be as complete as we can with it. So that's the answer.
No, it might be a good idea, too.
Yeah, very much like that.
That way.
Like I said earlier, I'm on the special event yesterday.
Didn't we talk about the event policy when you were on board?
We started it, but we never.
No, it's finished.
It's finished. The email went out as well.
We never voted. Yeah, I'd like you to send it again.
Yeah.
We never, I don't think we ever acted.
Again, we agreed to implement it, right, Kim? But it is not a legislative document because it's something that will be revolving and changing probably after every event, as it does in every community.
In fact, we said, do we want to adopt it?
But then what happened to the old one?
It originated with Fire Chief.
Yeah.
And,
so,
again, this event is October 15th,
yeah.
So we have plenty of time.
So really what we're here to do is certainly discuss the event for educational purposes and all, but our job is to approve a road closure based on what we know. What do you think? Do you want to do that when we legislate it? Because I'll have to read those roads.
Okay. Section is tenders. I heard yesterday they were talking about $1,000 vendors and $5,000.
Only
two types of vendors.
So there's only one type of vendor, and the vendor cost is $100. But we have sponsors. So we have sponsor tents, and the sponsor tents are $1,000 tents. And then we have a VIP sponsor area, which is more corporations. That's a $5,000.
Anyone else?
Hopper, thank you very much. And again, I apologize. I'm pretty excited about this event. So I am a little long-winded, but I'll try to be more precise later. Thank you.
Any questions from other folks on council? Okay. Excellent. All righty.
Okay, I think got one more.
Okay.
We got one other
announcement. Yes, please. Go ahead. Introduce. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry about the microphone.
My name is John Casey. I'm a resident in Westerville. I have a nonprofit organization called A Blessing to Be a Blessing, and a YouTube channel as well, Spoon One. Our mission statement is to inspire the world to love, to be kind, to be generous, and help those in need. Yeah. And we started it last year, kickoff launch at a golf outing event in Hilliard, the Heritage Golf Club. We were able to fundraise $37,000 to buy six cars to give them away for families in need for free. it was a very great success.
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt you for just 1 minute? If maybe
hey, guys.
You can take that outside.
Yeah, maybe you can take it outside. Thank you.
Well, that's why
okay,
we're
yeah. All right. So we can hear. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
That's okay. So I came here this evening. Ruben's a good friend of mine. He suggested that I come just to let you guys know about it. For this golf outing event, it's really big on my heart. A lot of people got put in my lap, one person after another, doctors, nurses, first responders, military, two specific organizations. One is Save a Warrior. They're in Hillsboro, Ohio, just northwest of Cincinnati. They literally cure someone with PTSD. They specialize in military first responders. It's a 72-hour intense program, but they have a 97% success rate. And Ruben and I were actually out there twice. Amazing in what they do. And there's a lot of unfortunate, wonderful people that actually kill themselves. This military alone is 30 to 33 people per day commit suicide with having PTSD. So this golf outing event is to let the world know, not just the people at the event, but the whole world, because it's going to be on YouTube, to love and appreciate and respect doctors, nurses, first responders, and military. Doctors in the last 2 years is all record high. They're going through their shift. They see multiple people die in front of them. It could be first responders, you know, with horrific car accidents, you know, with COVID or issues, things like that, that they see a bunch of people die in front of them. So it's a real thing, and for all those occupations. But the organizations are going to be receiving the funds. STAR is Stress, Trauma, and Resilience through the ORCU program. It's a medical program for doctors and nurses. And Dr. Ken Yeager is going to be speaking at the event. Adam Carr for Save a Warrior. And Sean Stevens, he's the house representative, you know, pretty well.
He's very cool.
Wonderful guy.
Yeah, he's a very cool guy.
Yeah, he'll be speaking there as well. So, I just wanted to present it, just to say, hey, could use your support just by spreading the word. I can also email you some extra information that has the direct link to the website to sign up to play golf or to sponsor or to donate 100% tax write-off to anybody who wants to play or do anything. So I wanted to say hello, and hopefully we can get some people to play for a good cause. We are going to do our best to have flyovers, helicopters, and military vehicles and first responder vehicles there on the course, just to really have a movement and just a presence to say, all these wonderful people who are saving our lives, you know, at the hospitals or in an ambulance, somebody's burning house, whatever it is, protecting our country, that their lives really matter and that we need to appreciate them and what they do for their occupation.
I want to thank you so much because this is very special. Hold on there.
That was me, sorry.
Very special to our heart as well. And actually, my sister is a first responder, and she lives in Denver or Boulder, Colorado, and she is starting a group called Tapestry to do very much what you're doing. And so it's very exciting. And I know Jamie, she's a medic, first responder, Air Force. So thank you. And then, I'm sorry, Tom, did you have a question?
August 1st, sir. Monday. Right here.
Yeah, and we'll make sure to put this on our website with your link.
Thank you so much.
Okay, yeah, we'll put it out there. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Now,
thanks
we're
for what
for
you're doing.
One more, and I'll force them if you want to join us.
I'm hoping you're good because I'm not.
Thank you so much for taking time
Thank
to
you
share
so
this
much,
event yeah. with us.
Very
we
cool.
wish you all the very best with this event, everything you're doing for these brave warriors. Thank you so much.
Very cool. Thank you so much. Alrighty. Jennifer is not here this evening at the health department, so I was just going to go over my report a little bit.
Jennifer did send us a couple of flyers that I will put in the hallway on pool safety, one on disposal of latex paint, and one on a survey for the quality of life in Delaware County. So I'll put those up in the hallway.
Thank you. All right. Just want to let you know planning and zoning did not meet this month. We've just been continuing to work on the master plan, and so we did not have that meeting this month. Development, Arrowhead continues to be considered and pursued by Schottenstein Properties. The development team had an additional conversation with them and stressed the need for lower density. I was invited to the Schottenstein group to explore the Liberty Grand property in Powell and attended. I attended and stressed the need again for the lower density and the need for community amenities. No real striking things came out of that. No commitments were given during that visit by any stretch. It was only. We did have Carson Bice from Fischler Bice attend the development meeting to discuss the impact fee study, and that is something over time that council can discuss. It is something that, as we know, Sunbury's been doing. Those impact fees may come in handy to us at some point. Did talk about or did attend two MORCSE meetings regarding intel and grant funding. And met with Rankin and Rankin to further discuss the potential of employee benefits. I'm a big fan of employee benefits. And we're really trying to work on something there. So the outcome of the insurance potential is that we would have some options that council can discuss to see, you know, if it's an expense that we want to take on. Maybe it's a stipend for next year, you know, for all employees to help with those benefits. Update on the playground grant. As you know, the village was awarded the $350,000 from the Ohio Capital Improvements budget. Thank you to Andy Brenner's office for that. It's very exciting. This will be dispersed over a three-year period. I know that Eric is going to talk at length and it's just a bit about the playground.
I would also like to talk about if you can finish.
Okay, sounds good. Also, Greg Henneke, he's a CPSRM qualifications include 30 years of public entity insurance risk management, including local government and 20 plus years of public school CPSI or certified playground safety inspector certification, 1998 to present, contract instructor for National Recreation and Park Association. He's one of 13 instructors in the United States who train other playground inspectors. Teaching the CPSI program since 2009, re-inspected both playgrounds last week and on Tuesday, June 21st, and Glenn, and the report is in your council packet for review. This is a free service for the village as part of our insurance company offerings. So it comes with pictures and everything else, so thought that would be helpful for you to take a look at, and we'll have some further conversations about that. Met with the second company regarding the opportunity for fiber over time. I would like to see us incorporate fiber into the village to add and expand broadband. So working with Bill and Mark on additional grants for the village, bought new flags for the square and cemetery poles, especially for Memorial Day, intended the beautiful wreath-laying ceremony for Memorial Day. And thank you, David Simmons. You did an amazing job with putting all of that together. So thank you. Again, performed yet another wedding. I think it's the last name Love. I don't know in the registry. So when they go to court and they see my name, maybe that's it. Local businesses, Senator Thurman will be hosting the Burger Bash fundraiser for Pelotonia. No road closures were requested, and the event will be hosted on their property. That is not anything to do with it. MORCSE has a tremendous amount going on. There's about three pages of MORCSE information there, so we'll continue to talk about that. You will notice in your packet, I have been having a lot of conversations with law enforcement regarding our traffic. We know that our village is growing, and it was very insightful with some of the documents that they sent and shared with me during that meeting. Had the attention of Russ Martin, Captain, with Captain Vance, Captain Scouten, and they recognize that, you know, traffic continues to be an issue in the area. We have a couple options. You know, we could potentially, if we wanted to budget for it, have a contracted police officer who's here all the time. We could maybe just do it for special times, maybe it's Saturday and Sunday mornings, and we have a lot of bikers through here. One of the things that they did say that I really like this idea is, number one, I'm going to have them come to council and kind of give the whole breakdown of traffic in this area. The documents that you have here are one for Galena overall in the zip code, the other one is for the village. And with that, they will actually have a pedestrian or have a resident sit with them in their car with a gun and see how fast people are going. Because one of the things that they kind of brought to my attention I thought was quite interesting and somewhat of a realization for me, and not to say the traffic isn't bad and that we don't know speeders, because we do, but they also did say because we're so close and compact and because our sidewalks are so close, when you're walking and standing still, and even though the speed limit is 25, it feels like it's 65 when somebody goes past. So they're not necessarily speeding. The crash rate is extremely low. The pedestrian calls and everything have been very steady. But these were just some takeaways. I was kind of doing law enforcement 101 for myself to go see those folks. After that, I did meet with a gentleman from a company called Traffic Logix. His quotes are in your packets. I said the running number right now for everything we want to do seems to be $6,000. So there are some tools if we wanted to, you know, the types that they use at the schools with the this is how fast you're going. It does have a box on it that monitors and gives all the data for over a period of time that you can have at your disposal. Just a couple different things that I wanted to bring up as potential solutions for council. So you'll see, you know, the costs, and those are things that we would own. They can be placed at different places at different times. Some of the signs, there's a couple different options there, of course. Some of the signs, you know, could say, hey, have a nice day, or, you know, hey, Joe, I saw you speeding, you know. So we can put anything you want up there, or hey, this is how fast you're going. So I know that this is not the first rodeo of looking for things like this. We recognize that as Intel develops that we are going to be one of those thoroughfares for people to go through as they get off of 71 and 3637. We're just going to be another route for people to go. Yeah. Yeah, from the sheriff's office. And that is, again, if they're available, that type of thing, because they're having
special
a
duty.
Special duty. Which is $45 an hour.
$6,000.
And there is 5,000 in the budget, but
right. So just lots to consider there. It was a very good meeting. There's a lot of things, maps and things that are all in your packet. This is a good packet for anybody who's in the audience or online that would like to get some of these documents just to learn about the traffic flow, because it was a nice meeting as well. I did also want to talk a little bit about sewer tap fee increase. This is something that we have not done in an extremely long time. Mark Ruffner ran some numbers. We've talked about doing a sewer tap study. My question is, do we have to have a study? Because, again, study is big money. So, but being the fact that we have not raised this, and everything has raised over many years, based on inflation, Mark ran some numbers here. And since 2017, we have not had any increase, and we don't have any records from prior to that to know if we've ever changed that $8,000 to anything different. He said based on inflation, the inflation calculator here puts the fee potentially at $9,539.69 for your consideration. If you would choose based on inflation, because it can be well substantiated that way, to increase these fees and have a tap fee study done later, we certainly could do that if we needed to. But inflation itself, I think, speaks for itself. The question to council is, what's that number? We're currently at 8,000, and if we wanted to go to 85, 9,000, you know, or right up to 95. As we know, Genoa works with Columbus. Berkshire is going to be like Delaware City, and Sunbury is the closest in Columbus, and Sunbury is around 9. So, it kind of seems like a no-brainer based on inflation to increase those tap fees, especially before anybody pulls an application for development. And this would also take place with Miller Farm, because they have also not locked in. And I think we were just going to talk about it and then potentially legislate it at the next meeting. Is that correct?
Before anyone else applies, action costs us.
So I was really glad to see that, and you know, I think we have room to move. So Does anybody feel strongly about that? Do you want to, I just would like to your recommendation, Ken, on how you would like to handle that. Everybody has a copy of that and the email right in front of you I gave tonight. And one of the other things that we talked about in the development meeting was Arrowhead Lake Estate. Currently the pond is in the village, and we potentially may like to get that over to the HOA, simply because there is potential village liability with that pond. It would be something that we would be discussing with the developer to see if that's something that we could do. So what's that? Well, not sure if it works quite that way, but there tends to be kind of a land swap, if you will. So, okay, I think that is everything. And so many papers here, I apologize. Go ahead, Bill. Does anybody have questions for me? I'm sorry.
About the... So, yeah, it's not over a three-year period. It's our first installment on exact date, and he gets the last installment on 2020. I bring it with me right next to where it was located.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I'm going to bring it with it at home right next to where I picked up my...
Gotcha.
But also signed for the Tina Foundation and is a member of. She is not. So she hasn't officially. And Eric and Kathy Krupp. So, if you guys have not officially met, I don't proper document.
I'll leave that up to Ken. What would not be proper about it?
Specifically, document $1,000 matching fund. So we're out of the office.
Yep. Thanks again. Yep.
That's all I got.
Thank you. And Bill.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. I have two items in my report. One, I submitted a written report for your review. It was also in the council pack. Welcome any questions on that. Another item is a exceptional cemetery maintenance grant opportunity made available by the Department of Commerce for the state of Ohio. Gave Ken a sample draft resolution. If at some point prior to the conclusion of this council meeting, the mayor and council provide direction to pursue these $2,500 in exceptional cemetery maintenance grant funds, we will do so. The mayor.
I
can read the resolution if you like.
That'd be okay.
Be able to read the resolution.
Can you do that, please?
Yes. Yep, go right ahead.
There's a village council resolution requesting an Ohio Mayor Geo Professional Cemetery Maintenance Funding to be made available by the Ohio Department of Commerce. And it is a competitive process. Whereas the Galena, Ohio Village Council is responsible to provide sufficient annual funds for the purpose of maintaining the historic Galena Cemetery, within which its earliest burials include people born before the American Revolution. And whereas the Galena Village Council is familiar with the Ohio Department of Commerce annually providing maintenance of Ohio cemeteries accomplished by nonprofit entities, including Ohio local governments, and whereas the Galena Village Council would like to expand upon its annual exceptional maintenance of its historic Galena Cemetery by seeking additional funds from the Ohio Department of Commerce to expand necessary paving improvements, and now therefore be it resolved by the Village Council of Ohio that Galena Mayor Jill K. Love has the necessary support and direction to submit an $1,500 exceptionally maintain and protect the fiscal integrity of the Galena Cemetery. Application process starts in July.
July 8th, it wasn't?
That's Morphe, I think.
Oh, that's Morphe. Okay. That's a good grant, Kona. And just make sure to speak into your mic there. Thanks.
Thank you. That's the legislation. Correct.
Any discussion about that? Would you like to suspend the rule?
So moved.
All right, Eric was a second. All right, roll call vote, please.
Kathy. Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
And Beth.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And the rule suspension, so thank you. May we adopt, thank you. May I get a motion to adopt the legislation?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
You two are on fire over here. Thank you. All right, roll call vote, please.
Kathy. Yeah. Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Hunt. Yes.
And may we get a motion to approve? Oh, I just said that. I'm sorry. The motion has passed. Thank you. I don't have it in front of me. That's the one document I don't have in front of me. Right. We have one more. Good with that one? We're all set. Okay. Fantastic. All right. Thank you so much. Anything else at all?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you much. All righty, and Suzanne, fiscal officer report, please.
We processed over 200 sewer payments, sent out 35 late notices. And the notice that we're going to send out to customers is we're going to we need to have that by the next meeting so that it can go out with the next bill. So if somebody better, that'd be great. Attend the talk and clearly 2 minutes. Okay, excellent, thank you. All right, so the approval of the financial statements. Any questions regarding those?
All good. All right. Can I get a motion to approve the financial statements, please? All right. Thank you, Ruben. And a second, please. Anybody on the left side of the room?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Todd. All right. Roll call vote, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion is passed to approve the financial statements here for June. Payment of invoices for June. Any questions regarding those? Finance team over there. May I get a motion to approve the payments of the invoices for June? Thank you. And a second, please. All right. Thank you, Ruben.
Kathy. Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. The payments for the invoices for June has been approved. Thank you. There is reference to the code compliance report from Levi Cole, along with the maintenance report from Ted Rashawn. I do just want to say that the paving that we've all been waiting for curbs, was unfortunately the gentleman who we had slated to do that for $7,000 informed us that he is not able to do that for us. Simply, I don't know if it's health concerns or he was a gentleman that had COVID. So we did go to the second bid, which unfortunately is $14,000. So we're going to have to do seven this year and seven next year. And so the seven this year, they're going to do the curbs and gutters that are most accessible to the public, so around the square. So they have he has a list, a priority list. It's going to be mostly adult. Yeah. Yeah, they'll be in front of Ken's, that other side on Harrison, in front of the restaurants. Right, on that area, that's the Harrison piece, right? So that piece primarily, and then there's some sections of Holmes Street that they were hoping to get to. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, the costs are incredible. I know. Bummer. All right. Also, there's a report on the wastewater treatment report from Brian Rammelsberg. So there is a correction. The next resolution that I will read, it is resolution number 2022-17. And it is a third reading, a resolution declaring it necessary to levy a tax outside of the 10 mil limitation for current expenses, the same being a replacement levy authorizing certification to the Delaware County Auditor to determine tax valuation of the subdivision and the dollar amount to be generated by a 2 mil levy and declaring an emergency. This is our third reading, so we will.
Actually, did I pass
and yeah, you passed it at the last meeting.
The tentative number was 100.
Yay. I'm sorry, we have no money. All right, great. So with that, we will do a rule suspension this evening. So may I get a motion to suspend the rule on resolution number 2022-17?
So moved.
Jack?
Second it.
And thank you, Jack. All right. Roll call vote, please.
Kathy? Ruben?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
And Zach?
Yes.
May I now get the motion to pass to suspend the rules? May I now get a motion to adopt Resolution 2022-17?
So moved.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Roll call vote, please.
Kathy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Motion is passed to adopt number Resolution number 2022-17. Okay. Okay. So the resolution number 2022-11, third reading, a resolution to proceed with levying a replacement tax outside the 10 mil limitation for current operating expenses at the rate of 2 mils for each $1 evaluation, which amounts to 20 cents for each $100 evaluation for 4 years commencing January 1st, 2023. And declaring an emergency. This is a motion to table resolution 2022-11 until July 25th Village Council meeting.
Auditor.
Okay. So may I get a motion to table the resolution 2022-11 until the July 25th meeting.
So moved.
Thanks, Todd. And a second. Thank you, Eric. Roll call vote, please.
Zach.
Yes.
Kathy. Ruben.
Yes.
And Eric.
Thank you. Motion to table resolution 2022-11 has been approved. So resolution number 2022-15 is the first reading of the resolution transferring funds in the amount of $3,000 from salaries administrator 1000-710-131 to other professional and technical part of the budget, which is 1000-790-9, and declaring an emergency. So may I suspend the rules to approve resolution number 2022-15? Thank you. And a second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Zach. Roll call vote, please.
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
And Eric.
Great. Thank you. Motion has been approved to suspend the rules for resolution 2022-15. Now may I get a motion to adopt resolution number 2022-15.
So moved.
Thank you, Ruben. And a second, please.
I'll second this.
Thank you, Zach. Roll call vote, please.
Kathy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Zach?
I'd like to suggest that we move the executive session to the end.
Everybody's good with that? And then I'm going to go ahead and move down to Ordinance number 2022-09, an ordinance amending ordinance 2006-03, generally known as the sewer use ordinance for the Village of Galena, which was adopted on March 27, 2006, adjusting the sewer service rates set forth therein and declaring an emergency. That is a second reading. No current action is needed on that. Ordinance number 2022-10, this is also a second reading, an ordinance adopting a revised zoning ordinance for the Village of Galena and repealing any inconsistent legislation, including the prior zoning code adopted on 1122-21. And action needed this time. This is the first reading, ordinance number 2022-11, an ordinance certifying delinquent sewer service accounts to the county auditor for lien certification for the period of August 31st, 2021. through August 31st, 2022, and declaring an emergency. Next up is first reading, Ordinance 2022-12, an ordinance setting the cost for the certificate of registration fee, and the construction permit fees for the right-of-way program and declaring an emergency. And for ordinance number 2022-13, I am going to wait for Zach to be back on that one. Good timing. Thank you. All right. This is going to take some additional reading. So this is ordinance number 2022-13, an ordinance ratifying closing for Galena Fall Gathering Park Street in front of Madison Yoder from Wednesday noon on 10-12-22 through Monday 10-17 at 5 p.m. And I will be reading the ordinance again, number 2022-13, first reading, an ordinance ratifying closing for Galena Fall Gathering, Park Street in front of Madison Yoder from Wednesday noon on 10-12-22 through Monday 10-17 at 5 p.m. 10-13-2022 at 12 p.m. through 8 p.m. and 10-16-22 Columbus Street from the Vault to the Son of Sermons and Middle Street to Tallulah. 10-14-22 until 10-15-22 from 5 p.m. until 12 a.m. Walnut from the intersection at Harrison to the Village Hall entrance. 10-15-22 from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. midnight. Harrison Street from Columbus Street to Village Hall entrance. 10-15-22 at 5 a.m. through 10-15 at 12 a.m. midnight. Roads will be closed from Van Valley and Sunbury Road to the intersection of Dustin and Sunbury Road. Requested from Delaware County Engineers, and there was an email that you all received there, along with Harrison, Walnut, Middle Street, Park, and Water Street. Water Street for emergency vehicles only. Van Valley to Light at the Vault will be for shuttle service and emergency vehicles only. And from Front Street to Dustin, open for shuttle for emergency, and food delivery only. That's the top part of that resolution. Yeah, for residents, we'll be providing a parking pass for them so that they can go through that. And it's going to be on their windshield, and because there are people that need to go to work and get in and out and things. So, and again, really the closures are from the center of the village, just right here in front of the Village Hall. There is, because it went to church.
Specifically for purpose. I believe there is exists. Harrison, Walnut, Middle Street, Park, and Water. All will be closed for emergency vehicles. Are you sure you want to close down the square for
me? The only road that will be closed for multiple days is Park Street right in front of Yoder Madison.
As /22, closing at 12 p.m. back up at 8 p.m. on the 6th. I will close down the entire square for that entire period of time.
So the 13th at midnight through 8 p.m. on
12 p.m.
midnight, right? So at midnight, a.m. Sorry, okay,
yeah, a.m.
that
midnight.
Yeah, sorry about that. Thank you.
Madison,
I did this about 18 times, so any help is appreciated.
Where it says A, Park Street in front of Madison Yoder from Wednesday noon on 10/12 and opens Monday on the 17th at 5 p.m. But that's not, I don't have a problem with that, but it says for B, 10/13/20, 12 p.m. through 10/16/22 on the street from Vault to Son of Thurman's and Middle Street to.
Yes.
This completely shuts down.
Right, so that's at midnight on the 13th. Until the morning of the 16th.
through 8 p.m. on the 16th.
You want to shut down the square for multiple?
We have to have time to set up. I was looking at this on a calendar. We have to have time to set up on Friday. We wanted to shut down Friday, and then the event is Saturday, and then we wanted to have it back open by probably 7 a.m. on the Sunday. Look at my calendar.
I would like to point out when it was close.
Oh, yeah, we have all of that. We've been talking to them extensively.
So
yeah.
Really.
At what point? During the day of that event? No. That's only for emergency vehicles because that's behind Tallulah, or excuse me, behind the vault and all of that area. That's kind of their in and out. And a brand new map that I just had done. So we have a brand new map.
I believe.
And that's fine. That's fine. That's why it's a first reading and not a first.
Are you sure you want to shut down both bridges?
Just for that day, yes. And that, yes. And that was, I talked to the county at length about that.
While gathering people, they allowed them to go behind the street.
Right.
They let through traffic to go through. You're getting shutting that down.
For that one day. Yeah.
I know we're allowed to, but
we are.
Should we?
Up to you then.
I think it's necessary for that day because something here we can talk about.
Okay. I'm fine with closing down the square during the day. I believe we should allow that one shaped passageway around it just as can if needed. They're completely blocked.
We're going to have to go out and around for that one day. We've had extensive conversations. We've had extensive conversations with the county engineer, Steve Bodner, and Doug Riedel. They'll also have signs out on Route 3. Okay. Yes. Fair enough.
The size of the festival, safety, that's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
Closed down for,
I mean, what do you think is going to be hindered if it's closed down?
I don't know who in particular, but arterial street.
No, we get that, but, like, what happened if it's closed down?
I'm more concerned about a car coming through, a semi coming through, trying to make that. And so that's why we're closing down as much as we can because of the magnitude of the event and because how we have got to have that big time barrier.
So essentially, I guess it's not by track driving.
I just believe it.
Well, safety, you can't have it back.
I know, but it's
just saying that
you got to do the given traffic.
You know, so I've had probably 4 meetings with Captain Vance and Captain Skoden, who do the Delaware County Fair and Ironman, with Lee Bodner and Doug Riedel from the county engineer, with Chief Kovac from BSTNG, and we're having another meeting with EMA, and they all agreed on this route for that day. So I'm just saying, because we've tried to really cover our bases, because I have told them on every occasion, I want this as safe as it can be. Could you ask a little nicer, please? Because we're just trying to do our best.
Thousands of people.
So that's why this is the first reading, and so I appreciate more eyes on this. That helps me. So, like
Grace,
I said,
Grace, do you want to give your input on this since you've done it?
Would love to hear it. I'm good. Yeah.
Thank you.
I sort of
did this on Sunday, and it's, like I said, fairly extensive. Yeah, I know it's the first three.
Yeah. Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm sorry, Grace, what did you say? Yeah, okay. That sounds good. It's a lot. Believe me, just the AMs and PMs and what's that? Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, for everyone. Because that's the thing, is whatever we end up with, we'll go on our website and QR codes and everything so that people can all see that. Right. Perfect. Okay.
Oh, yeah. This road's going to be closed.
Since you're blocking a massive portion without no direct route, you probably need to push. Post it pretty well in advance so people know.
Right. We have to. We have to be really careful. I mean, safety is everything. So thank you for your great suggestions. That's why I presented that tonight. and we'll take all of those. And Kathy, maybe I can run that by you too once you get that done. That'd be super. Okay. And then, I wanted to read an ordinance. Ordinance 2022-13, ratifying closing gathering Park Street in front of Madison Yoder from Wednesday noon at 5 p.m. So, Zach Hopper, the Bell Park.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with bad news. Miller Park. So, we have a very extensive and negative playground.
That saddened me.
51 pages. Page. I'm pretty sure the overall description of it should be shut down due to non-compliance temporarily. I believe we should make a motion to temporarily shut down Miller Park so the problems can get fixed.
So I was talking to Ken a little bit about this. Completely up to you all, but just point of discussion. It's hard to close the playground. It really is, and unfortunately, we have a lot of knowledge based on the extensive sections, and so those are knowledgeable to us, which makes us liable for those. One of the things that we thought we might be able to do, and it's for consideration, is to play at your own risk fines that may be there, because we're not going to spend the money to fix it when we're going to get a new playground shortly. So, and the expenses to do that is extensive. So it's up to your discussion if that may be something that we want to do. So, you know, some people do, you know, play at your own risk, swim at your own risk, you know, that type of thing. Can you do a quick recap and just talk right into your mic because our folks at home aren't always hearing you?
I think the wise thing to do would be currently push it as our insurance. On the other hand, if they say,
right.
so you know, the playground at Bruckner has been listed as closed for months, and people are on it all the time.
We may need to put caution tape around.
They did, and that all came down.
They just tear it down. There's no...
No. No. No, it's really, really hard. And so,
if you post it, perhaps... don't want anybody to get hurt.
And if we've got... I'm specifically talking about Miller Park.
It's a thing.
It's a sample person. I think that's exact. So basically, let's fire this report out for insurance company. Let's do that first thing, like tomorrow. And then we'll wait on that. And then while we're at it, if there's anything that's deemed like just completely, like just beyond unsafe, unrepairable, let's start the process of taking those things out.
Mm-hmm. And post it in the meantime, that it's closed, temporarily, because I think that's what it is, temporarily, until we get a response.
Ken, should we put something up to say you're playing at your own risk? Because I think Ms. Piper's right. I mean, when I was a kid, they said you couldn't do it. That's what we did. Yeah. So kids are going to do that. Is there anything we can do, like to post it, like playing at your risk? Because, God forbid, somebody gets hurt, that becomes a much bigger issue. So how do we...
Play at your own risk sounds like you're inviting me to...
I agree. I think park closed also, when we're talking about liability, park closed,
right.
I think carries a little bit more, for what it's worth, protection than, roll the dice.
Actively telling them to stay off of it.
Yeah.
No different than the situation we had with the Brick Street a few years ago. If it's unsafe, you either close it, fix it, or, there's no way to...
You know. Right.
The deal is we now know, and so that's where our liability comes.
Yeah.
And we're not surprised when it had the hole in it. The hole was just big enough for somebody's little baby leg to go in there, and so we took that down, and to replace the slide was going to be over $6,000.
Oh, my God.
So that's why that is challenging. We tried to do the bolts. You'll notice on Miller, excuse me, Ruster. We tried to improve with the bolts. We didn't put the right bolts on. We didn't know that. So a couple things there.
So I would like to make a motion to temporarily close Miller Park until July's council meeting.
Okay. Thank you. May I get a second?
So as we make this decision, pending, I'd love to hear back from our insurance company to see exactly where we are before we close the park in the middle of the summer. As far as if the things are dangerous and they can't be on them, take them out. And once we hear back from the insurance company, I think that might be the next step.
And just an FYI, the guy who did the inspection works for the insurance company. He just also happens to be a playground inspector. FYI.
I don't want to say let's wait till the next council meeting because it is summer. It's so comes and we work out a deal. Then we'll pull a meeting together because I don't want the kids not to have for a month playground because we don't have.
He could do an emergency meeting next month if needed.
Well, because it was an in-house evaluation, it may happen more quickly than normal. But typically, as you know, it's around 2-3 weeks before we get any positive response one way or another. So this should happen a little quicker.
I think the thing that would concern me, and I'm unfortunately having to be devil's advocate, is because I received the email from him that said I recommend that this is closed immediately. And so that is concerning.
Okay, calm and slow, but when we do this, kids are still going to play, so how do we protect ourselves in that interim time?
Right. That's the question.
I think all you can do is post it. You can't post it as park closed for no admittance or something along those lines.
Okay.
I would use the word temporarily because I think that's what we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, I agree. It's a bad, bad timing. If there was snow on the ground, this would be a lot easier.
I wanted to get a new inspection because there were people in the public who challenged the fact that the playground was in great shape. So I just wanted to make sure to get a good inspection
and you can see for yourself. So, yeah. Okay. We can also put that at CRBS on our website and on social media, just at least to do a due diligence. Okay.
And we can ask them to expedite their response. I don't know whether they will or not, but I think in the meantime, I think you're safest. And I realize it's terrible to have to close it during the summer. It's yeah. like closing the swimming pool, you know.
Yeah. I would highly recommend that anybody who would like to see this report ask for a public records request to get this report. Because mm-hmm. I think we're probably going to have that, which is fine. We might even, I mean, if it wasn't as big as it was, I just posted online. But, you
know. The Miller's is, what, 51 pages? Yeah. And the Roughner's like 30.
Right. Right. So if you have a copy and somebody asks you to share yours, so you don't have to put Suzanne's and all that work. Okay, did you have any further questions about, you want to talk about Miller?
I made the motion to temporarily shut it down.
Or both?
Just Miller.
Okay, just Miller.
Specifically Miller.
So that's why I want to read this.
Currently, Roughner is still shut down.
Right, right.
So this is specifically for Miller until next council meeting.
Okay.
And I need a second.
I'll say.
Thank you, Ruben.
I don't know that I want to specify.
You might have
it.
Well,
right now,
because...
We can say shut it down.
Temporarily.
But then once we get this information...
We might need a special council meeting.
Right. No, I agree. No.
Well, but that would just be a rough deadline. Because that way, in case you still need it shut down, we can the next meeting... extended by another council meeting.
You're putting the date in. That's not put the date. We all want the same thing. We want to get the information back and get it open.
Because until further notice would sound much more intimidating to me.
Yeah, I'd rather say temporary. 16
days removed temporarily.
Yeah, I want you to use temporarily because that's what it is.
That's fine.
You know what I mean?
And we all know we want to get back to the
time. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So
that stands? Zach first, I second? For temporarily. What are we going to do to
close it down?
With the
sign.
All you can do is post it. That's really all you can do.
It was busy today.
Oh, it's packed.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
And can we specify that this is the equipment only, not the park? Or how do you guys want to?
Just the train part. It's not the...
Well, but is it the equipment? Because I'm going to come somebody to go there and sit on a picnic bench.
The equipment in the train-themed part.
So the equipment. So we want to make sure that we put...
There's the two sub-playground equipment. It's not the young one. It's only the train-thematic part of it.
Wasn't there something written up on the small one, though? But the distance between the height and the ground?
Overhead ladder exceeds. Maximum 60-inch height limit, non-compliant, and I believe that is it.
Without a rail.
Take off the landing.
Well, I'll say what I always say. People don't call me when things go right. So,
It seems to be only those two things, is that the landing area for the monkey bars is slightly too high, and that the monkey bars are slightly too high.
Right, so that's your small one.
Yeah.
Next to the
So never mind. Both playgrounds. I think even the swings are included for this.
Okay, so we want to clarify that we are closing all equipment for Miller Park. Okay, but the park itself is not closed.
Everything else is fine.
Yeah. Okay.
The mom goes in there with
I know. Oh, you can't play on all that fun, colorful stuff.
Yeah, you can sit on the mall.
Yeah, that's why that happens.
All right.
So there are people who may, they walk through the area and various things. So we do want to make sure that we specify that. And then did you want to talk about Russell?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. So do you want to remake that? All those in favor say aye. Let's just start there. All those in favor say aye.
All those in favor say aye.
All those opposed? All right. The motion is passed to close the equipment at Miller Park. Temporarily.
Okay. So, Roughner Park, my goal right now is to undo the removal of the equipment. Currently, the only major hazard on there is the lack of the padding or foundation or whatever you'd call it, and we willingly removed it. I'm pretty sure that is the only major problem he had with Ruffner. Everything else seemed relatively minor, apart from maybe the swing set chain.
It's the mulch.
Yeah.
So it's another 6,000 to put the mulch down. Because it's washed away.
But I'm saying, we directly are responsible for that problem. Like that.
It's in the flood.
Yes, it's in the floodplain, but
the question is, we have to put the mulch down if we are in the park.
The only major problem is the fact that we don't have the mulch. Other than that, I'm pretty sure we could reopen the park.
But
we don't have the $6,000 spent for the mulch.
Right.
We
have to
pay 14 for curbs.
Right.
That might be washed out then.
Right. And then the bolts need to all be changed, and some of the things that he stated in there would need to be. The bolts are incorrect.
I mean, it seems simple in theory. I get your point, but it just costs so much.
Because the playground grant's not coming in fully until 28, so it's going to be a long time until we get anything to replace that.
What?
The playground grant, that we get the last installment of it in 2028.
We're asking them if they would allow us to make those payments that allow the playground prior to that. So it would be one of those where they know that we're getting a state grant, and so that was a question I asked Eric to ask the company who's doing it. Can we go ahead and make the payments into that period of time, but we'll start?
That's not a guarantee. I'm saying we can guarantee this playground to not be needed to remove if we just put padding on it. Or gravel, or not gravel, mulch.
Do we have $6,000 put on that? Do you guys let you do that?
But how many times does it flood per year?
I think that's the problem.
We might put $6,000 into it today.
Yeah,
the mulch might last five days.
It might last 5 years.
But it's $6,000, I don't know if we want to take, I don't know that that's prudent to take that type of risk if it washes out in a month, and then we got to pay $6,000 again.
But we're saying that whatever replaces it won't have the same problem.
We may not
replace that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's in the floodplain.
Or having a dog park or something.
Down there in the floodplain. So if you remove this, I don't know if we're actually allowed to replace it.
Do that again?
If we remove this playground, I do not know if we're actually allowed to replace it due to it being in a floodplain.
That's correct.
Those are floodplains.
And that is a risk we take.
Mm-hmm. We could always get rubber mulch, and then we could all just go rake it.
Well, that's all going to go into the water, you know, when it pulls back.
Well, there's also rubber matting. I have heard a lot about playgrounds.
Yes, yeah.
And it's really expensive. It's really expensive, but it doesn't go away.
And there is some of that down there that's chipping away.
It comes down to money.
But I mean, it almost comes down to money. I mean, that's true.
There is $3,500 balance in the playground certified mulch. If you are going to, now keep in mind, that's for both playgrounds, and it's only $3,500. So,
what I'm saying, if we do that, we would not have to remove Ruffner Park, because currently that is a priority one hazard, and if we do not do it, we will have to remove the playground.
Hard decision.
I would very much rather not do that.
Right, hard decision. But yeah, it's all up to you guys.
Just so you know, we have already used part of that $3,500. It will be on the next spreadsheet. I do not remember off the top of my head how much it was, but I can look real quick.
We have mulch at the playground we're about to close.
I'm so sorry. If you had any money to put into anything, I'd rather put it in the future.
This is such a hard topic, I know, because everybody's very passionate. Nobody wants to close the playground at all. I mean, nobody does.
Trying to finance any of this? I mean, we haven't borrowed any money other than for the sewer plant. I don't know what it would cost to do this, but our credit rating is probably pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get a bond anticipation.
To do what? For mulch?
Well, for whatever you want to do. It sounds like there's a couple of your term things you can do with both Miller and Ruffner Park to keep them open.
So let me ask you this. Kathy Farkas is online here. Oh, I'm sorry, Michelle.
Oh, that's okay. We spent $1,425 of the $35.
Okay.
That's what was used in Miller Park.
Okay. So Kathy Farkas actually has a great idea here. Can mulch be transferred from the Miller playground over
to up there?
Great question.
Great question.
It is.
I don't know. Think of that.
But if they do transfer, it'd still run in the same risk of being flooded out and washed away.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
we're transferring from a park that we're about to close.
Right.
Yeah. We're about to shut down the entire playground section. Where would not?
Do we have the equipment to do that in the time? So, you know, you realize we got Cody off all next week. And it's only Ted. Now we're talking about manpower. I need to play devil's advocate, but I'm just giving you the reality.
No, that's reality. You're right. That's a big job to do.
That's a really big job.
Yeah.
Love the suggestion.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, it is.
And to have both of those closed at the same time, you'd like to at least get one of them open. But
Yeah,
because we could refer, as Kathy says, we can refer folks to Ruffner. Yeah, now we're just into manpower. So
there is other stuff non-compliant on it, but the only one that, in my opinion, because he did not say any other thing other than the fact that there's no padding.
And the bolt.
Yeah, because pretty much all of the problems were the same ones from the 2021.
Right.
And those were not, none of them were major problems. They were just in case you get sued. If you do these things, it would dramatically help.
Right.
So we wouldn't have to do the bolts or anything like that.
It's more about the surface, because the surface is so expensive.
Is the hazard one.
Mm-hmm. Because the surface is something that sometimes is washed away twice a year.
At $12,000. You have massive roofs under that, so you fall off and crack your head on that, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's mulch there, we won't.
So the deal is, I guess, kind of moving into the question, would you like to move mulch over from the Tissue Train Park over to Ruffner to get it open? Do you want to forego mowing, cemetery, all the things that it's going to take away from Ted and Cody, and with Cody being off all next week?
And or use whatever money's left in the fund.
What's that?
And or use some or if not all of the money that's left in the fund. Because if we're closing Miller Park, we won't need that fund for Miller Park.
I was just going to say,
I do not know.
Is $2,000? There's $2,000 left in this. Is $2,000 enough to mulch that area down there?
I don't
want to throw money into a hole either. But if we're closing one park and this lets us at least open another one,
if we do not do this, we will have to remove it.
No.
Because it's a priority one hazard.
So my question is, does $2,000 worth of mulch buy us the ability to keep this park, at least one park, open for the kids for the rest of the world? Does anyone have an answer to that question? $2,000 seems like a lot of mulch. I mean, I have my bag of mulch.
Well, we did $1,500 at Miller Park, right?
Is it a special kind of mulch?
Yeah, it's a playground mulch.
Yeah, can't be any more than not like a $2.99 bag at home.
Either way. Guys, either way, it's going to be man hours.
I'm pretty sure it's
if we say, go get the $2,000 with the mulch and dump it there, it's going to be a truck and we've got to spread it in the whole thing. Or we say, you know, get the loader and throw it in a truck and then drop it in the new place. Like, either way, it's man hours. Either way, it's going to be work. The question is, are we paying again for something we just paid for and now we're going to close that park?
And we may be opening Miller Park after we hear.
Well, we hope so.
And we have no idea.
I don't know.
Is the product available even? Another issue.
Michelle, has the mulch been spread out at Miller? That was ordered? Okay.
Yeah, it's completely finished at Miller.
It looks beautiful.
That was on his report.
Yeah,
it does look nice. Yeah.
Snugger. Because
I don't go there, my grandkids are too old now. How much equipment is actually down?
Ruffner.
So another four normal swings, two baby swings, the weird, you grab something and get fucked around on. I don't know what that's called.
The spinning wheel of death?
No, that's a different thing. That's the death wheel. Which, by the way, did not have any problems.
I know, wasn't that funny?
Yeah.
You have the two swings.
Wait, is this line? Can I get on it?
And the two slides.
There's just enough equipment there.
Sure. I believe there is enough equipment
to
want to keep it.
Grace, I'm sorry. If you want to come up to the mic, I'm sorry.
Grace, use this one right here because that battery's the mic, so just turn that one on.
It's not on. Name and address.
Grace Piper, 126 Walnut Street. Did the first inspection cost money?
No.
Okay. No. So then if you get another inspection, will that cost money?
I don't know. I have not asked him. We just did it last week.
They generally don't charge us for...
That, because it's part of our insurance plan.
That doesn't mean they won't. We'll ask the question.
Yeah, that gentleman is part of our insurance. He just happens to work for our insurance plan. He happens to be an insurance salesman along with a certified public or professional inspector. Say that three times fast. So I'm going to leave this up to you guys. Where are we on this?
I don't think I'm opposed to spending the money and getting the mulch. I don't know. To have both of these closed down seems bad, and for a couple $1,000s, I think we should be able to do it for a couple thousand.
I think we may have to use volunteers because it would overtax.
Right.
It's going to be a challenge.
I'm not a fan of that at all. The volunteer thing, like, we have people that we pay to do this job, and if we have overtaxed them in what we're currently asking, then we need to find someone else to do that job, or someone in addition to do that job. But every time we have something that's outside of that, we start going to volunteers. This is a municipality.
That ends up being you guys.
I'm just saying, I'll always push back against that one when we say, hey, can you help us do this thing that we've been charged to do for the community? So if we start with $2,000, we have $2,000 left. Let's start with that mulch, put it in Rufford, keep it running while we shut down Miller Park. If the $2,000 isn't enough, if it doesn't buy us enough mulch, we're going to take the rest of the mulch from what is currently there, and we already have the truck, we already have the loader, go get it, dump it until we have enough there that gets the job done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, are we understanding that, you know, that might be from start to finish, you talk about it tonight, it being done based on staffing 2 weeks from now?
From 2 weeks from now, yeah.
But it means both of them are going to be closed. He's out vacation next week, right?
Yes.
So the week after. So this is the week of the...
The third. I'm sorry, third week out.
Gotcha.
The grass growth has slowed up.
It has, yeah. That does help. It's just know that there's going to be a compromise.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all we're saying. Everything's a compromise. So
okay.
There's going to be a compromise in weeding. And, I mean, the trails need attention. They need a lot of weeding. Ted is going to have to probably attend the chemical plant or the chemical training. So there's other things that probably are not going to get done. So I just throw that out there.
Yeah, when we get to that, as far as personnel, if there's something in what the expectation is, this is the job, and if you can't get to it, then let us know. You know, it's that simple. But then we have to talk about that.
Okay. So, do we need to make a motion that this is what we want to do, or are we just discussing and want me to relay that to Ted?
Need a motion, or you have
that's
to
what I thought. So,
money
out. So yeah, okay. Just want to double check with y'all. Okay.
We would have to probably make a motion to undo what we did last month of removing the park if we were to continue actually mulching it. Because it currently we are planning to remove it right now.
The only thing is that makes it open now, and we can't open it now. So it's almost. By the time these guys actually get it done, it'll probably be the next meeting.
But
July.
Currently, it is. We have made the motion to remove it.
Is this the thing you need a motion from council to close the park?
It sounds like this is.
Yeah, this is just managing our village. Listen, we get the mulch there, open the park.
And if the park is closed, I think we want to leave it closed.
Yes,
we
want to leave
it.
Yeah.
That's
but
what
I'm saying.
Saying
that we made a motion last meeting to remove the playground. We have to revert that or just.
We just want to leave it closed.
Leave it closed. For now.
The park should be closed. Both parks should be closed.
Yeah.
So I see what you're saying, Zach. We made a motion at the last meeting to actually remove the equipment.
Oh, okay.
And so do we need to have another motion to
reverse
undo that or reverse it? Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Or just don't do it.
Yeah, I would get a motion to leave the equipment.
Oh, leave it. Okay. So may I get a motion to leave the equipment current as it stands at Rockford Park?
I would like to make the motion.
Okay, and a second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you, Todd. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And all those opposed? All right. The motion is passed to keep the equipment at Ruffner Park for now.
Both parks are closed. Both parks are going to be closed to the week. It's all closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I am being requested to ask to talk about why Miller Park is temporarily closed rather than just saying a sign is closed. So I'll do my best on social media to put that out there. And, you know, anybody's emails that we have and on Nextdoor and stuff, we'll just try to get the message out there the best we can on why it's closed. Because, yeah, a lot of people would love to know that. Okie dokie. So, are we all good with that? Everything, you have all your questions answered, Zach? Yeah, I know. Zach, all your questions answered about the fire?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go ahead and move on to the fire report, VSTNG.
So we had an evaluation done by an outside agency to determine, you know, do we really need another fire station, specifically up by 3637. So this is a very comprehensive evaluation that was done. And, of course, they said, yeah, you need that fire station yesterday. So this is our copy. So it will be kept here at the Village Hall if anybody's interested in taking a look and reading it for free. So it will be kept here. I received it at the last fire board meeting, and my charge was to bring it to the Village for anybody here that's interested in looking.
Is that it?
Yep.
Okay. Nice. Let's look at that. All righty. Already kind of discussed planning and zoning, more fees. So playground committee, Eric, you are up.
Well, so the playground committee, last time we had our insurance company tell us, hey, your playgrounds aren't great.
Then the playground,
playground said, hey, we should get a playground committee and make improvements. So we started down that road, formed a, you know, playground and park committee. And they, in fact, I think I had a sheet of paper just with our talking point. Here you go. Yeah, I have it. So, and the thought was, hey, let's improve what we have. And we got a playground committee together and really every member on that committee, something that was either first or close to the top of their list of things that they cared deeply about was accessibility for those with special needs. It's an underserved, an amazingly and horribly underserved slice of our community. But as far as kids that want to have fun on a playground, it doesn't make them any less deserving of having a place to play and be and find joy. And so came back to the mayor and talked with her about that, and obviously she has a heart for that as well. And the grant that came from the state was from that conversation. So thankful for that work from Mayor Love. That grant gave us some options, because basically we had an early meeting that said, wouldn't this be great? Wouldn't this be great? Wouldn't this be great? Yeah, but we probably won't be able to do much of that. And then after the mayor's work, we had a chance to say, maybe we can do all this. Maybe we get a chance to have some really great stuff right here in the heart of our community. Maybe instead of just kind of a sad little playground beside, you know, our newly, you know, formed community garden, maybe this can be an amazing park, like a centerpiece to this community. And so our first task was to evaluate the current playground, and I think as Councilman Hopper already said, it's pretty jacked up. So that status needs a good deal of help. And then the next thing was plan and design a new play area for Miller Park. So after multiple meetings and a good amount of research, and both, if you go, and we kind of sent out the committee to go and observe and look and find places where, A, it's accessible to those with special needs, but also where are the parks and what are the things that all of the kids are at that they love, that the density of play is like right here. Everybody loves that. It's always there first in them. Other, we talked a little bit and again, just photo after photo, link after link, park after park, came back together, and now we have this collection of these things are the things we love. And interestingly, this committee has also a heart to have this park look like it wasn't just put there, meaning this park, this playground, this whole area in the middle of our community should look like it belongs there. So as far as the, when you think about Disneyland, you know, big bright colors kind of sticking out, that's not what this committee is hoping. And again, by the committee, I mean this is obviously up for approval by this council. So these are the projects and the proposals that the committee would bring before the council. So, and the thought was, we want this park to be amazing. We want it to be a natural area, and a big draw. We want people to come to this area, to come hang out and be and play in this park. And so when we were like, hey, we should have a splash pad. We should have a place where kids can play when it's hot in the summer. Maybe kids that don't have access to a pool. It's not like you have community pools in this area. It just doesn't exist. And the summers get hot. There's no place for kids to play. And what does that look like? And we kind of said, well, we probably can't do that. And then again, with this grant, well, maybe we can. Maybe it's not out of reach. And so that really opened up a lot of options for us, and thrilled about that. So, now the next step is where we start from there, and that's design. The design, when you look to, different architecture firms, building companies, I had conversations with multiple municipalities. Westerville stands out as one just because they won a bunch of awards for their park design, and they happen to be like a couple miles that way. Had great meetings with the lady in charge of these projects for Westerville. She took a lot of time with me and connected me to great folks. Had a chance to go out to Pickerington as well and look at some stuff that they did. Had a chance to spend time in Hilliard and Dublin as well. And Pod Design is one company that kept coming back up as just kind of this great company that integrates just a natural element and also engaging play places for kids. MKSK is another company that does more kind of grand scale design, like big urban areas. That's not all they do, but what something else they do is integrate water really well, whether it be fountains or think of kind of East End in front of Brio, that area where the fountains are there, then they're not, then they're there. So kind of fun things that they do with water integration in park design. So the next step is we narrowed it down to two designers, and Pod and MKSK are the two that we're going to work with as far as starting this process of design. And then we'd like to have a couple of designs, bring drawings to the council, and then say, hey, which do you guys like? And then we go back and we say, okay, let's move forward with this project. We've connected, we've contacted both of the firms, and I'll update the council when we talk about actual funds. This is how much this costs for these designs. And I'd love to have our plans done. It's not impossible to have this project done as far as groundbreaking. There's a lot involved. There's water that has to be moved. But again, that's something that as far as working in conjunction with that community garden, we need to bring water there anyway to that area. The water tower in the middle of our community that isn't doing anything is just this kind of huge eyesore. What's involved in bringing that down and running water to the area? So there's a lot of infrastructure. There's a lot of dirt that has to be moved underneath things. So this is not at all a small project, but I think when it's all done, I'm hoping when it's all done, this is yet another reason to be here in Galena. So that's what I have. My great hope is to have the drawings ready for that fall festival that we saw earlier. So when people say, hey, what's all this about? What are we donating this money for? We're like, we're going to put a park in the middle of our community, and you're part of that when you give these dollars to our community. So that's the hope, and as charged with the playground committee. So that's what's up.
Thank you so much, Eric. Lots and lots of work on that, and we so appreciate that. It's no joke, is it?
It's Nope.
All right. So any of the other committees, Todd, anything on cemetery?
Cemetery, we're meeting in July. Two big points are road surfaces and signage. So we'll be focused on those two things.
Great. And we are getting quotes there for the hill, hill only. So, yeah. Excellent. Okay. All right. Any other business? Anything anybody else wants to discuss before we head into executive session?
Just some real good donations. If you can, coffee balls. Funds went to new flags. Of course, no, went to new flags on the square. Just in time for Memorial Day. And then just last night, we got flagged out.
That was great. Thank you to your man for doing that. Appreciate it. Also, I got a request for a student at Ohio State University who is working in her public policy degree, and she wondered if we had any positions here at the village that could use our help, and we're going to meet probably next week just to see what that would entail. Potentially, I don't know. I don't know what exactly she's looking for, whether it's just special projects or we may not have anything here, so I may be a liaison just to be able to hook her up to some other areas. Again, most of their work, just knowing that my son went through that program, is all for free. It's all, you know, internship work, so we'll see what we can do. And then every once in a while I get some nice opportunities for people to step out and want to be volunteers for various things. One of the Cub Scout leaders said that she has some lifetime Eagle Scouts that would like to do some projects. So I wanted to get with her because I'd like to see about, we've talked about painting the water, wastewater treatment plant fence, which will be a really big deal. That's another thing that.
Also the gazebo.
And the gazebo.
And
now
the. In the budget for the paint before that.
Right, so that was, I thought about the gazebo immediately. But I thought if we tear it down, if we do the whole playground, the gazebo is probably going to come out. And maybe just replaced somewhere else if it's in decent shape and we can move it. I don't know. But I thought about that too. So if anybody has any projects that they're thinking of like that, let me know. Just to get people to come and knock on the door, and I'd love to be able to give them projects.
Does that include our residents?
Right. Right. Exactly. So, all right. So at this time, unless there's any.
For the website,
mm-hmm.
The zoning code is. The 01, or the 95 revised in 01, instead of the current up-to-date one.
Okay.
And since the current event policy is not implemented yet, I believe we should take it off the website.
So what do you mean implemented?
It has not been passed yet. We have not.
It's not something that we're doing with the event policy. It's not a passed or legislated document. It is a document that is a guide for any event that comes to the village, but it's not it doesn't have to have readings, it doesn't have to have any, it's basically an event application for people so we know what's going on. But it is, am I, for anything different?
Yeah,
that's correct. Yeah. Please come to your mic, I'm sorry.
Sorry? Meetings with the police and fire, and largely the fire, as why we came up with this guideline, and it was, I think the chief is the one who brought it to us from another community, so.
Yeah, I think the chief and.
Right.
Well, I know Bill had a huge part to play as well with mm-hmm. some of his experience, and I think the combination with what chief provided and what Bill did and I worked on, I think that's what made it.
Yeah, I mean,
we sent the email out to everybody too.
And so we have to answer your question from earlier. So if somebody fills out an application, they now have an application to complete. It's going to be up to whoever is managing that, whether or not you're going to decide whether there's a festival based upon what they say in the application.
Okay.
That was the whole idea.
Yeah.
It's not binding. Right. You can waive certain parts of it. There's only going to be one day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, going through that application line by line is not going to be applicable to every single event.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just not. Give me a bug.
Is that a bug?
There's a time. Are you done? She's out. Tap him out. All right. So anything else?
Mayor, one more item. I had in my report just to confirm whether or not the council wants to pursue a North Sea Trail Grant opportunity, the attributable North Sea funds do include trail infrastructure. We have a Walnut Creek Trail Bridge that's in very poor condition. We could pursue up to 500, well, we could pursue more, but it would take $500,000 as far as a preliminary projection from our engineers to responsibly deal with the condition of that bridge and replace, restore it. And there is a preliminary grant deadline of July 8th. And to put in a preliminary grant, you're just seeking potential MORPC interest and an invitation to put in a final grant application. So it doesn't cost anything to test the waters, basically, if you'd like to go in this direction.
Yes. Absolutely. Like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So similar to the one we passed earlier, you would have to assign this a number.
Do we know that if it has matching funds or not?
Yeah, it does.
30% is the another one of my clients is also investigating pursuing these funds, and we had a discussion with MORPC administrators, and if you want your grant to be successful, they recommended offering a 30% match. So if you're pursuing a $500,000 grant, that's $150,000, but it's better to get $350,000 towards $500,000 than pay $500,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, another one hard to stomach for sure, but that bridge has got to be fixed sometime.
Yeah.
And we might as well see if we can get some grant money for it.
The estimate's $500,000.
We're part of this big network, right? The big, like,
Ohio Erie Trail.
Yeah, the trail network. And so there's a big pot of funds when it comes to, not everybody, some people just have pavement that goes through their area. Some people have a bridge that costs, you know, $1 million to fix. So at this point, is there a source for more help for that, for our part of that trail? You know what I mean? Obviously, if that trail goes away, that's a big deal. A lot of people use that. So I'm wondering if there isn't more state funding for that kind of thing.
That particular section of the trail, I don't believe, is the Ohio to Erie Trail, which is unfortunate. It's kind of the trail at this point with a dead end.
Yeah, it doesn't connect.
It doesn't connect.
Mm-hmm. You just found that out, actually.
Yeah, it's dead end.
The affiliation helps. The grant application.
Yeah, it helps. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of those things that I ask those questions for, like our little boardwalks, and they're like, yeah, no. Like, there's always that, yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Also, Justin, FYI, I did forget about when we were talking about development in my report. The progress on Blackhawk is that if I was a betting girl, I would say 98% sure that it's going to Preservation Park, 123-acre park. So just wanted to put that out there. It is not a done deal. It is not for sure, but all signs are pointing in that direction, and I did receive an appraisal notice for Preservation Park. Okay.
I think Grace wanted something. Can you come on up? Can you come up?
And Mary Walsh is coming up.
You got to sit first for next time.
Name and address.
Piper, 126 Walnut Street. This letter that was delivered, where did it come from?
Me.
You? Okay.
Because yes.
There were some people that didn't get it, and they were pretty upset, so it made quite a wave in the village.
Really?
So now they know where it came from.
Really? I literally spent an hour and a half in my car going to every mailbox that I saw. So,
okay. Well, that's all. Thanks.
You don't have a mailbox.
I did not receive one.
Okay.
I got a call asking about this event, and I did not know.
Okay. Yeah. If there wasn't a mailbox, I'm just trying to figure out. That's why on Sunday I asked everybody's emails, because if we can get just a village proper, no subdivisions, some better way to communicate. Yes. Yes. That meeting going on, but yeah, that's the only meeting. Yeah. Future reference. Yeah, no, that's,
Yeah, but I did. I knew that was coming. Belinda, there's no way for me to win. And it's simply I can't win because everybody says that everybody doesn't have email. Everybody doesn't have social media. Please put it in our mailbox. So what do you want me to do? We have put other things in the mailbox when it's a village event.
But if you don't
and we
have
need
a mailbox,
to parlay.
It's not an offense if you don't have a mailbox.
Well, how would you like to be communicated with? Let me ask you that.
That could be trespassing.
And I've had people who absolutely would not want me at their front door. I can tell you right now. No, they wouldn't want me at their front door, on their porch. I can tell you that right now. So there's no win for losing. I will do my best to email. You can put your name on an email list. I believe you're already there. Happy to do that. But I have tried everything to get the message out to only the people that live in the village. That's why only those people were invited on Sunday. That was the best way I knew. Got it? So are you guys ready to go into executive session?
Well, yeah. Are we going to adopt legislation to allow you to submit the
So we need to add the number for that.
We need a number.
Was it 18? 19?
We have to come up with them with our portion. I mean,
yes,
if,
we will.
If they approve it and we say, well, then we've got to come up with $150,000.
Yeah.
You don't want to.
We don't go for the whole.
This is.
It's one of these things that we don't want to go for. And then,
right.
I know, but it just doesn't look good. You know,
this is.
Oh, yes.
Well, this is the preliminary grant application. This is more of say, hey, here's our idea. Is it of interest to you? Are you recommending we pursue a final application? And then if they invite you to apply with a final application, if you're not serious about it at that point in time, don't apply.
Okay.
But if you are serious about it, then you can apply.
Yeah.
We're not committing any funds at this point.
We haven't even said that we're going to apply for it.
The preliminary process is seeking legislation to document council support for the preliminary application. Just to prove to them that the majority of council is interested in putting in this preliminary application.
Can we just put some mulch on the bridge? Is that going to help at all? That doesn't help our cars.
We're kind of running out of mulch.
That doesn't help. Never mind. Withdraw.
He's taking the ball.
I think we need more volume down, I think.
What's the number, Suzanne? Dash 2? 2022-19, a resolution authorizing the mayor to submit a grant application through Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission for 2022 attributable funds and declaring an emergency. And then the body of it is going to read the same thing. Open meeting law. The reason for the emergency is the grant application initial submission is due on July 8th for the next council. We need a vote and a rule suspension. Somebody needs to tell me what I said in the morning. We can type this up. And that's it. Yeah, just I think a rule suspension and a motion to adopt.
Okay. May I get a motion to suspend the rule?
Motion to suspend the rule. Second.
Thank you. Is that an all those in favor, or is that a roll call? Roll call vote, please.
Kathy.
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Thank you. And may I get a motion to adopt? Thank you. Getting late?
Yes.
Thank you, Kathy, in a second. Thank you, Ruben.
Yes.
All right. Roll call vote, please.
Kathy?
Yes.
Ruben?
Yes.
Eric?
Do we have to read the number first? Like, is that helpful to
do? I think you gave the number. Yes, we need to make sure what the number is.
Yes.
2022-19.
2022-19.
Good job.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, on 2022-19 to get
And the second, please.
Thank you, yes.
No, we already have the first and the second.
I just wanted to read it to get it official. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, roll call vote, please.
Zach.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. The motion has been read as an emergency, and we have adopted it. So I will sign that tomorrow. Okay. Now, I think we're going to move into executive session. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Excellent. So may I get a motion
to adjourn to executive session under Higher Revised Code Section 121.22G1 for personnel matters?
Yes. Thank you. All right. So may I get a motion to move into executive session, please?
Make a motion to move into executive session.
Thank you, Ruben. And a second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Todd. All right. Roll call vote, please.
Ruben.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Beth.
Yes.
Thank you.
And time is
9:26. Yes.
How are you?
Put a open that up. Hey, I've heard that taking that water bottle out.
No, somebody actually, we met with someone that would take it out.
Well, here's the thing. Some people, the number of people that are like, we love that.
Can we repurpose and say something?
Yeah, it's like it's in dead center. Yeah, part of the community, part of the community. Oh yeah. I even saw the photo of when you guys put it up, like it was up, like there's that, it was right there, and
well, what was it before?
About 6 feet away.
Oh. Oh, I never caught that. Oh, we gotta keep that, yeah.
Thank you.